Okay, today's daf is your tip. We're going to start at the bottom, at the last line, imachet. Okay, but I'll do a drop of quick chazaha.
Bottom of 18.
We're in the middle. Did I say 19?
No, you just didn't say.
Oh, the bottom of 18. So we're in the middle of a long braita, which basically sets up drashot on this pasuk, nefesh kitim omal v'chata b'shkaga. Okay, so the first five words are going to be darshin. Nefesh, we said both, right, an individual, a king, and a kohen gadol, or chayav mi'ila. The next rasha was kitimo ma'al. They said ma'al means shinui, making some sort of change, and they learned that from sota and from avodat elilim. But both of those things, the word mi'ila, this root mi'ila is mentioned, and it's taking something out of one rishut into a different rishut, right, either Elilim, which is we're leaving God and we're worshiping idols, or the woman who leaves her husband and goes to a different man. And b'mechubar lakarka. Okay, so then it started giving us all different examples of cases we're going to learn from chet, from truma. So they learn from truma, gzeirah shavah, all sorts of halachot about mi'ilah, like it has to be, you have to both damage it the same way you eat truma, so when you eat it, you damage it. Therefore, we have that. It has to be no longer connected to the ground. The laws of shlichut apply, and some other things. Then they went on to say, in addition, and this is the part that we're going to focus on, in addition, there's all sorts of other cases where you're also going to be chayav, like if somebody takes the item and shares it with a friend. And all together, each shares, uses half a pruta of it. So that's going to work. And what were the other halachot? Right, even in a devar she'ein bo pgam. Okay, sometimes there's an item that might not be able to be damaged. Then you don't need to actually ruin the item in order to be chayav me'ila. Okay, and all sorts of ways of sharing. So now the Gemara is going to say, kind of explain why you might have thought that these wouldn't be included in Me'ila, and the halacha needs to tell you that it is. And generally the gist is going to be, well, just like the one that we're not going to read from before this, likewise this one, which is, since you made the comparison to truma, you might have thought it was only like truma. So, imachet amor b'truma ad sheyetze min hekdesh l'chol. How does it work with truma? Well, a zar eats truma. Now, when he does that, he desecrates the truma. So he removes it from its sacred status. So, it's not even that. It's that he uses it for chulin purposes. If a zar eats truma, he's obviously not eating it b'kedusha. He's eating it not b'kedusha. He's taking it out of hekdesh. So you might have thought, with me'ila, it's only if you take something that's hekdesh and you use it for chul purposes. But mina kodesh la kodesh kigon. Let's say you took hekdesh money, and with it, what did you do? Lakach kinei zavim, kinei zavav, kinei yoldo. You bought with it the pair of birds that you need to bring your korban. So in this way, right? What did you do? You took kodesh and you used it for kodesh. Maybe that's not me'ila. Or shakal shiklo. You took the money and you used it for your machatzira shekel. You kind of stole hekdesh money and you took it and you paid your machatzira shekel that you're supposed to pay to the mikdash. Or vehevi chatatova ashamo min a hekdesh. Or you purchased a korban chatat or asham from hekdesh money. So what do they say here? Now we're going to have a debate. So while everyone agrees, and we're going to see in a minute where they darshan it from, everyone agrees that this is the case, that if you take it from Kodesh to Kodesh, you're still chayav mi'ila. The question is going to be, at what moment do you become obligated? When did you do the act of taking it into some other Kodesh, misuse of property? So, kevan shehutzi ma'al divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, as soon as you purchase the new item of Hekdesh with that consecrated money, that's when you are mo'el. That makes sense, right? You did a purchase, that's already considered, I'm using it for some other purpose. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shizrok hadam. He says, no, you have to actually sprinkle the blood of the korban, which is what? Effectively, it's the end of the korban. You've succeeded now in sacrificing your korban. So when you do this rikat dam, that's when you benefited, so to speak. That's when you actually used it. Until such point as you get atonement from it, theoretically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you haven't actually used it for anything. So you bought an animal, okay, but you haven't really done anything. when you actually sprinkle the blood, that's when you receive atonement, that's when you're chayav and me'ilah. So there's a machlok, or a shomer, you heard about that. But in any case, they say minai, and how do we know that mina kodesh la kodesh, you're chayav and me'ilah? Talmud lomar, tim ol ma'al, mikol makom. Again, they take that same drasha, tim ol ma'al, which comes to include in any case that you would do it, even in a case of kodesh la kodesh. Now going back to an earlier part of the Braita, Amar Mar Nefesh, Echad Yachiv, Echad Anasiv, Echad Mashuach B'mashma, right, all are included. Sheachol Mai, and as what would you have thought otherwise? Why does it need to tell you this? Pshita, isn't it obvious? Nefesh K'tiv. It says Nefesh, so obviously Nefesh would include any human being, and they're human beings. So they say, Ma'u Detema Amar Rachmana, Ba'ashir Yitem Imenu Alzal. So the issue is that you're not allowed to take the Shemen HaMishcha, and if you take it and you put it on a Zal, you take the Shemen that you're supposed to anoint kings and Kohanim with, and you put it on a Zal, v'nichrat me'amav, you get karet. Okay, but there's two things here. Number one, you get karet for using it as a Zal, and also you've taken something of Hekdesh and you've used it as Chulin, so there's a din of Me'ila here. So now, since the high lav Zarhu deha'im shech begaveh, and now the king and the kohen wouldn't be chayav on the karet of having a zar use the Shemen HaMishcha because they're in the realm of Shemen HaMishcha. They're not considered a zar when it comes to Shemen HaMishcha. So therefore, you might have thought maybe they're also not chayav in me'ila in general since there's an element of me'ila also in this isur of the zar using it. Kamash malam, that's why he needs to come and teach you. No, all these people are included in regular dinim of me'ila. Okay, now we're going back to the hekesh that they made. They made a hekesh to three things, really. Aksha Rachmana Lesota Ulavada Kochavim. Okay, the first two are from the Lashon of Mi'ilah. Right? It said Mi'ilah there, it says Mi'ilah there. So they made a hekesh, right? They compared it to Sota and Avada Kochavim. And Ulitruma from the word Chata'a Vishgaga, and the word Chet appears by Velo Yisalav Chet, by Truma. So now we're going to say, what do we learn from the comparison to each of these three things? Each one is going to teach us something that's similar to the item that we're learning it from. So, lesota, de'af agav de'lo pagam, kabeh hekdesh. Okay, so sota, what happens when a man sleeps with a sota woman? So he's lo pogemota. What does it mean to lefgomisha? If you remember, we learned a long time ago, it's when you get rid of her virginity, right? She loses her virginity because you have relations with her. Now, the sota is obviously not a virgin because she's a married woman. So in this case, you slept with her, you benefited without actually damaging her, so to speak, okay? One could talk about all sorts of other damage, and I'm not going to get into psychological damage, but they're talking about physical damage, okay? There's no physical damage to the woman. So what do you learn from here? Gabe hekdesh nami natznatabah biyadam ma'ala. That comes to teach you about the category of items that don't have pagam, right, that don't decrease in value in general. So those items, right, that's like the sota, because she also isn't going to be get any pagam, and yet there's me'ila. Likewise, we're going to have me'ila, even though we had a whole long thing. It's only if you're pogam. Remember, it's only for pogam if it's something that generally could be depreciated. But if it's something that doesn't generally depreciate, then you're going to be chayav and me'ila even without that, like the jewelry that was mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Ki aksha rachmana lavada kochavim. So what do we learn about that? Da'a de'ipe shinoi. Right, that was the whole thing, right? That it has a change. You've changed from one owner to another, you know, from one god to a different god. So therefore, gabe hektesh nami adibi kaba kardom v'yivgam v'upagum. So, likewise, when you take an axe and you chop trees with an axe of hekdesh, you're only going to be chayav if you damage it and it becomes damaged. I don't know why they have to use both those words, v'yifgom upagum. Okay, but you basically have to damage it in the sense that it will now be depreciated in value. Okay, so again, there's a difference between items that generally devalue and items that don't. So the items that do, you're only chayav in me'ila if you actually damage them. Third comparison, aksha rachmana l'truma, matruma ki ye achel prat l'mazik. And it says, when you eat it, right there it says, it's ki yochal. Ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, v'yasaf chamishato alav, v'natan l'kwein et ha-kodesh. If you accidentally eat truma, what do? You have to pay the item plus the chomesh, sounds very much like mi'ila, right? So here, what did they learn? If you eat it, which means eating is always called benefit, as opposed to if you just damage it. If I take your truma and I just ruin it, I step all over it, and you now can't eat it, So that's not, I wouldn't be chayav to pay you the item plus the chomesh. I probably have to replace the food for you, but I wouldn't have to give you the chomesh. And there's also mitabi de shamayim. If a zar eats truma, right, he wouldn't get that if he does it on purpose. So he wouldn't get that, obviously. So, okay, that excludes someone who just damages. So therefore, kabe hekdesh nami, kol debar achila, if it's worthy of eating, then ki mazik le patur. If you just damage it, you're going to be patur. Okay, now we're going to go back to this jewelry, and we get into a little bit of an interesting discussion between Rav Kahane and Rav Zvid. Ketzad natzna katla. Okay, this was in the Mishnah where it said, if you use jewelry, right, you put on jewelry, or there was the katla, there was also the necklace, and what was the second one? A ring. Right, it wasn't earrings. I was thinking also earrings. Mm-hmm. The ring, tabat biyada, or shataba koshal sahab, where you drank from a golden klisharet. So all those things, since it doesn't generally depreciate in value, you're chayv just by putting it on. So amale rav kahana l'rav svid. Dahava lav bar ifgumehu. Is gold really not able to be depreciated in value? What happened to the gold of the kala of Nun? What happened to her gold? Her gold disappeared. Okay, what does that mean? It means that he gave his daughter-in-law gold, this guy Nun. He gave the daughter-in-law gold. He measured it before he gave it to her as a gift. And when he looked later and he measured it, he saw that it didn't weigh as much as it weighed earlier and that it had actually somewhat worn away. So you see here that gold could actually depreciate in value. Okay, so now we have this issue because we have on the one hand, the Mishnah says that items that don't depreciate in value, if you misuse consecrated items of that without depreciating them, you're chayav anyway. So now they're going to say, but how could you say that gold is not able to depreciate in value? And they kind of, it's almost like they're mocking, okay, the way Rav Kahana says it. Now pay attention, because Rav Kahana says, look at the daughter-in-law of Nun, look what she did to her jewelry, and she ruined it. And what do you see? The jewelry can be ruined. So now, how does Rav Zvid answer him back? Very interestingly, he has two answers to what he says. Amar Leh, Dilmia Dava, there's actually a different girsi here, it should say, one second. Dilma, okay, in the Shita Mekubetzet, they read it like this. Dilma hai deleka kalatehu. Okay, he says maybe her gold went to the same place that your daughter-in-law dealt with her gold. In other words, you're complaining about the daughter-in-law of Nun and how she didn't take care of her jewelry, even though that wasn't really the topic of what he was saying, but he was mocking a little bit. He says, go look at your daughter-in-law. She puts her jewelry in a very careless place, and her jewelry also depreciated in value. Okay? So, it's good. We have a mother and daughter-in-law at the table. It's excellent.
I just looked it up because I'm really curious. It says it can decay.
Right.
It can have milk spots or oxidation.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. So now we're going to see the next line, which is very significant. So first of all, what he's saying is, look at these, your daughter-in-law and this daughter-in-law of Nun, they're both exceptions to the rule because they put their gold in a very, most people keep their gold in a protected place. They didn't. So in other words, what he's trying to say is generally gold doesn't deteriorate. It's only when you have careless people like your daughter-in-law and this other guy's daughter-in-law, then you're going to end up with gold that deteriorates. But ve'od, and additionally, nihide lo ika, neheneu pagam la'alter, lo'olam mi lo ika pkima. Even though this isn't, what's the difference? This isn't the kind of item, and this is what you were talking about, Shari, it doesn't deteriorate immediately. It would take a very long time for something to go wrong. Therefore, and as with Me'ila, you're going to be chayav if you damage something, only if it's an item that can be damaged very easily and immediately. But if it's an item that can get damaged over many, 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 many years, then we're going to call that, for all intents and purposes, an item that doesn't get damaged. Okay? So therefore, you might say the kala of Nun, number one, didn't take care of her jewelry, and even though most women do, and therefore it's not considered a devar sheyesh bo pgam, and number two, it deteriorated over a very long period of time, and therefore that's not the criteria used for misuse, because what's misuse of consecrated property? You misused it right now. It's not that we're going to look and see how over time you cause this to decay or deteriorate. So therefore, don't ask any questions on this. Okay, last part of this Mishnah, Hane'ene min ha-chatat. This was the very difficult line that we said. We had already explained this earlier in the Masechet, that if you are ne'ene min ha-chatat when it's alive, lo ma'al ad she'yifgom, but kashi meta kevan she'ne'ene ma'al. But once it dies, right, then you're going to be chayav and me'ila even without there being a pgam. So here the Gemara says, michti ibebeim atmima. If you're okay, so now going back to the first case, you're nehene from a sacrifice, a chatat. When it's still alive, you have to actually cause damage to the animal in order for you to be chayav. So now they say, ibebeim atmima, hainu koshel zahat. If you're talking about a perfectly good animal that can be sacrificed, well then, now here it's a little bit different than the koshel zahav. What was the issue with the koshel zahav? The koshel zahav can't deteriorate in value, or it's not likely to deteriorate in value. Here it's that a beimat tmima, we don't care if it deteriorates in value, because no matter what, we're going to sacrifice it anyway. We're going to sacrifice it if it's worth, you know, you already bought the animal, and let's say it's worth 100, and now it's going to be worth 90. It doesn't make a difference. Either which way, you're sacrificing the animal. It's not like there's a minimum amount, except for that one korban we saw that had to be the asham mi'ilot, right? And then a bunch of the ashamot have to be two shkalim. But even so, right, generally, we can sacrifice it no matter what. And therefore, amara papa b'balat mumaskin. And they're obviously talking about when it already had a blemish, and once it has a blemish, then its value is very significant, because we sell a blemished animal, we redeem it. So we redeem it for a value. Well, then the value is going to obviously be important, whether it goes up or whether it goes down in value or not. And therefore, you're only going to be chayav if you actually cause damage to the animal. Okay, new Mishnah, more cases of cases that are kind of exceptions we're going to see. Nehene kebachatzi pruta upagam kechatzi pruta. So we already learned that if you're going to misuse consecrated property, it's not enough to damage it, and it's not enough to benefit from it. You have to both benefit and damage, okay? Unless it's these exceptions like the jewelry, where it doesn't generally get damaged. But assuming we're talking about a regular case where it would get damaged, like clothing or something like that. So in order to be chayav me'ila, you have to have used a whole pruta's worth. You have to get benefit that's worth a pruta. So they don't exactly talk about how you evaluate. I don't know what it means to wear a shirt, right? Benefit from a shirt and how we value what that's worth. Maybe, you know, if you go to, you know, tuxedo rental place, right? So you know how much it's to rent an item would cost. So maybe, you know, and then you rent it based on a certain amount of time that you have it. So I don't know exactly how they evaluate it. I don't know if they get into it. I'm assuming they don't exactly. But we have to think about how they get that. But assuming that we know there's some way of evaluating. So you benefited half a pruta's worth and you damaged half a pruta's worth. So now, what don't you have? You're missing a whole pruta of both hana'a and pgam. O shenehene b'shava pruta b'davar achad, upagam b'shava pruta b'davar achir. You misused two items, but one you got benefit from, and the other you damaged, but you didn't damage the one that you benefited from, and you didn't benefit from the one that you damaged, even though each was a whole shava pruta. Lo ma'al ad shehene b'shava pruta v'yipgam b'shava pruta b'davar achad. It has to be hana'a b'shava pruta, pgima b'shava pruta, and all happening to one item. Ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashim. This is a very interesting halacha, right? Like ein bishul achar bishul, or we've seen this concept before, ein isur halal isur. What does it mean, ein mo'el achar mo'el? It means if I benefit from a consecrated item, as soon as I benefit, what happens to the item? I basically used it for my own purposes. So I turn the item into chulin. It's no longer hekdesh. So if you come and benefit from it after me, well, you didn't do anything wrong because I already removed it from the world of hekdesh. So that's what it means, ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashin, except for two exceptions to the rule. Ela behema uklei sharet bilvad. Okay, animals. Now, what's the difference between animals? Well, animals have kedushat haguf. I'm going to bring an animal for a korban. That animal has inherent sanctity. So at this point, I have that animal. That animal, if I use it for my own purposes, it still has kedushat haguf. It doesn't get removed from it. Remember also, animals, you can't redeem them unless what happens? Unless they get a moon. But otherwise, you can't redeem them. So since you can't redeem them, well, then also by my using them, I can't remove. Pidyon basically means, by not having pidyon, you can't remove the kedusha, the status of it. So therefore, in when it comes to animals and klei sharet, those are the vessels in the mikdash that have sanctity to them, that sanctify other items. Those things are inherently sanctified, and even if I use them for chulin purposes, they still have kedusha to them. So if you use them after me, you'll be chayav me'ila also. Ketzad, so here they give a bunch of examples. I don't know why they give so many examples, because really they're all the same, but sometimes the Mishnah likes to do that. Rachav al gabei behema, so I took an animal that was sanctified, and I rode on it. Then ubacha veiro v'rachav, and then one of you rode on it. Ubacha veiro v'rachav, a different one of you rode on it. Kulam ma'alu. Okay, everybody's chayav me'ila. Shata bekoshel zahav, I drank from a klei sharet, a cup of water, let's say. Ubacha veiro v'shata, ubacha veiro v'shata, kulam ma'alu. So likewise, they're all chayav. Talash min achatat. Okay, I took wool from an animal that was supposed to be designated as a korban chatat, that was designated already for a chatat. Ubacha veiro v'talash, ubacha veiro v'talash, and everybody did. Kulam ma'alu. Everybody's chayav. Rebbe Omer, now it sounds like we're having a different opinion, although it sounds like he's saying the same thing as the first opinion, so we're going to have to figure out what the difference is. Rebbe Omer, kol davar she'en lo pidyon, yesh bo mo'el achar mo'el. Anything that can't be redeemed, which is kind of the way I already explained the first category, so it's hard to understand how he disagrees with Tana Kama, anything that can't be redeemed, there is a din of mi'ila achar mi'ila. So the Gemara starts off and says, Mane matnitin. So first of all, okay, they're ignoring the first part. The first part is already very clear. They're really dealing with the Eim Moel Achar Moel. And if you remember, the Mishnah said, Ela behema uklei sharet. So now they're going to say, by the way, there's a machloket about this. And our Mishnah follows one of the opinions in that machloket. Mane matnitin. Who does our Mishnah go according to? Rabbi Nechemia. He goes to according to Rabbi Nechemia, Detanya. Ein Moel Achar Moel Ela behema bilvad. According to the Tanakhama in this source, it's only animals. Rabbi Nechemia Omer behema uklei sharet. Okay, but Rabbi Nechemia says both behemot and klei sharet. So now we're going to see where they each get it from. My time at Detanakama, de kasaval beinyana de behema k'tiv. The whole halacha of yesh mo'el achar mo'el came from the context of animals, and therefore it's only when it comes to animals. Dichtiv be'el asham. Okay, you need the whole pasuk here. It says, Ve'et asher chata min ha-kodesh. Okay, if you are chayav in me'ila, these are the psukim in Vayikra Hey, where it talks about me'ila. Yishalem, right, so you have to pay. Ve'et chamishato yosef alav. Ve'natan oto la-kohen, and then you give the money, the me'ila money to the kohen, right, the money to make up for your me'ila. Ba'kohen yechaper alav be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. And then what does the kohen do? He atones for him using the korban that he brought, the el asham, and he becomes forgiven. What's the problem? The problem in this pasuk is it already said El Asham previously, so we know he brings an El Asham, so it could have just said Va'kohen yechaper alav bekorban or whatever. It didn't have to say the words El Asham. It could have just said Ba'asham. Okay, it didn't need to say it. The fact that it mentions animal here, they learn to say, ah, that's unnecessary. What can we learn from here? That when it comes to animals, you're chayav me'ila forever, right? There's no such thing as, oh, you removed it to chulin, and therefore the next person won't be chayav. So therefore, Tanakama says the whole context of the din where we learn it from was from an animal. Therefore, it's only animals. So how did Rabbi Nechemia get to klei sharet? Rabbi Nechemia amar lecha kal v'chomer. Im acherim evi l'kedushatan, hu atzmo lo kol shaken. He says, if the klei sharet brings the status of kedusha to an item that now it will have kedusha forever, and there'll be me'ila achar me'ila, if that has the koach to cause kedusha to go onto that item to then have it continue forever, then obviously that klei sharet must also have that level of kedusha. How could it possibly give a level of kedusha to something that's going to last forever when it itself isn't that sanctified? So now there's a bit of a problem, because animals don't go into a klei sharet to be sanctified. Remember, right? Animals become sanctified, right? Generally, when you slaughter them, or even when you designate them, they're already hekdesh. So, what is he talking about klei sharet? So, the Mefreshim explained that it must be that it's not just animals; it's anything that's designated to go on the altar, like, for example, mincha, right? Or the nisachim, the wine libations. Now, what do you do with those? You put them in a klei sharet. So those must have the same status. When he says animals, he obviously must mean anything that goes on the mizbeach, like the nisachim and like the minachot, the meal offerings, and those go into a kli sharet and become sanctified in the kli sharet. And then they end up having a din of yesh moel achar moel, and therefore those items are what we're referring, what Rabbi Nechemiah is referring to here. Okay, Rabbi Omer, kol davar she'en lo pidyon, right, that was the end of the Mishnah, yesh bo moel achar moel. So, as we said, hainu tanakama, that sounds like the exact same thing as tanakama. So we're going to have two possible answers about what the difference of opinion between Rebbe and Tanakama. Again, both of them seem to say, Tanakama said animals and klei sharet, and Rebbe said anything that doesn't have pidyon, which we assume kind of means animals and klei sharet. So what else would be included? So now we're going to learn that potentially there could be other things included. So Amar Rava, first answer, Ika benayu etzim, detanu rabanan, okay, trees, how so? You know, logs, they really mean. Detanu Rabbanan, ha'omer hare alai etzim, lo yifchot mishnei gzirim. If you remember, we learned this machloket. If somebody says, I promise to bring trees to the Beit HaMikdash, now what do you mean? What did you mean trees for? Trees are jet. What do we use trees for in the Beit HaMikdash? For the fire, right? For kindling. So, according to Tanakama, if you say, I'm promising trees to the Beit HaMikdash, you have to bring two big logs to the Beit HaMikdash. And what do you do with those logs, obviously? You put them to use for the fire, for kindling the fire. Rebbe Omer, etzim korban hen, utu'unim melach, utu'unim tnufa. He says, no, what are you talking about? If you say hare alai, what is hare alai? Hare alai is, I take upon myself to bring something to sacrifice on the Mizbeach. What it meant is, I'm bringing trees to sacrifice on the Mizbeach. As a present to God, I'm bringing trees. So, if that's the case, all the laws of korbanot apply. It says, they have to be brought with salt, so you have to salt those trees. And you have to wave them. Okay, there's a whole process. And we're going to learn two more halachot. Amarava, okay, not only did Rebbe say that, but Amarava, the Divrei Rebbe, etzim tu'unim etzim. This is a great halacha, right? If you want to burn them as a korban, well, then there has to be wood underneath burning, and then you burn them on top of that wood. You can't just say, oh, I'll bring them as a korban, and I'll use them for kindling. Can't do both. They have to be brought like any other carbon where you have wood underneath and then you bring them on top. And another interesting halacha, v'amara papa, l'divrei Rebbe, etzim tzrichim kmitza. You need to do kmitza. Remember what kmitza is. So in the mincha, you have some bread, you break it up into little pieces, you take your three middle fingers, right, you scrape the sides off with your two side fingers, you take the kmitza, you burn it on the mizbeach, and then the shirayim go to the kohanim. So according to Rav Papa, he says, according to Rebbe, who says the etzim are a korban, they must be a korban just like a mincha, and you have to break them up into little pieces, take a kmitza, put the kmitza on the mizbeach, and then, now the then is a debate among the later authorities, then what do you do with the shirayim? So some people say the shirayim also get burned, which happens, by the way, in certain minachot, if you remember, certain the minachot are kalil, like the minchat kohen, everything gets burned. So some people say the shirayim also go on the mizbeach. It's just first you do a kmitza and you put that on the mizbeach, then you do the rest of it. And some people say, no, actually the shirayim go to the kohanim. It's exactly like a mincha offering. Kmitza goes on the fire. So if you say hare alai etzim, according to those people, you break it up into little pieces, take a kmitza, burn that on the mizbeach, and the rest goes to the kohanim. Okay? So debate about what exactly this means. Anyway, how does this relate to our case? Because if you go back to Rebbe, who says, Kol davar she'en lo pidyon, yesh moel achar moel, well, if someone says, Hare alai etzim, according to Rebbe, remember that was the opinion we saw, who said it's a korban, so he thinks that etzim have inherent kedusha, which means they can't be redeemed, which means according to him, etzim would also be included in the list. Tanakama didn't say anything about etzim. Tanakama said animals and klei sharet, and we assumed he includes nisachim and you know, the libations and the mincha offerings, but he wouldn't include etzim because he doesn't view etzim as a korban. But comes Rebbe and he says, no, also etzim can't be redeemed because they can be sanctified in the case where somebody said, I promise to bring etzim to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore that's the difference between the two.
So you could add anything to the list as long as you worded it that way?
Well, it depends. I don't know how far Rebbe goes in terms of saying other items.
Leaving off trees from the list just feels random.
Right. Well, trees is something they specifically debated. The question is, you know, no one's talking about bringing a pencil to the Hare Alai, you know, a pencil to the Beit HaMikdash, right? Nobody, They're talking about things that you would normally bring. Eitzim came up because the question is, what did you mean when you said eitzim? This goes back to things we learned a long time ago about what did you mean? Did you mean you want to bring these eitzim to be used for kindling? Or did you mean you want to bring them as a korban? And also, I think there they said that there's a place where eitzim is, the word korban is mentioned with eitzim. Maybe I forget exactly, but that's a possibility. Okay, next. Next answer. Rav Papa Amar, he says the difference between them is the following case. Kodshei Mizbeach Tamimim V'nasu Ba'alei Mumim. You had animals that were perfectly good animals, but then they became blemished. Now, what happened? Now, in general, you're supposed to redeem them. So they would be a good example of something that has pigyon. Except, what did you do in this case? In this particular case, Avar V'shachatan. You anyway slaughter them, even though you're not supposed to slaughter them. You're supposed to sell them and use the money. But instead, you slaughter them. That's the case of Ika Benayu. How do we know this? Vatanya, it says in the following Braita, Kodshei Mizbeach Tmimim V'nasu Ba'alei Mumim V'Avar V'Shachatan Rebbe Omer Yikavru V'Chachamim Omerim Yipadu. There's a machloket about whether these animals are now forbidden to benefit from and you can't redeem them. And that's Rebbe, which matches perfectly. Now, what would we say? Ah, so when Rebbe said things that don't have pidyon, this is what he was referring to. He's saying things that I think don't have pidyon, right? Either we said, number one was the 18, and now, according to our puppet, it's this case. Kodshei Mizbeach, they were perfectly good, then became blemished, then you slaughtered them anyway. According to Rebbe, those can't be redeemed. Okay, and therefore, that's what he was including when he disagreed with Tanakama. And Tanakama holds, like the Tanakama of the Braita, this says, the Chachamim there, this says, Yipadu. They can be redeemed, and therefore the rabbis would think, you know, the Tanakama would think, that's a case where Ein Mo'el Achar Mo'el, because that can theoretically be redeemed, and therefore, if somebody uses it, it will become Hekdesh. Before we finish, I just want to explain what's the root of their Machloket. If you remember, I'll remind you of something we learned a while ago. There's the issue about having ha'amada v'ha'aracha. Does something have to be stood up before you can redeem it? Because it says va'ama, right? It has to, v'hemira kohen, he stands up the item, and then v'he'ericha kohen. So does that have to be in every issue, in every item that gets redeemed? So if the animal's dead, the animal can no longer stand up. So comes Rebbe, and he says, that's why it doesn't have pidyon, because it can't stand up to then be redeemed. Okay, according to Tanakama, it's not a requirement in every pidyon, and therefore it can be redeemed anyway.